Lord, how we thank you and how we bless you, Lord. Thank you that you are a good Father, you're a holy Father, you're a righteous Father. The word even says, when our mother and father forsake us, then you'll pick us up. We thank you that your hand has always been on us, Lord. Even when we didn't know it, didn't want it there, didn't feel it there, Lord, it's always been there. Thank you for all the fathers in the house. Thank you for the mothers in the house. Thank you for the youth and the kids that are the offspring of the fathers and mothers. We love you, Lord, and we bless you. We thank you for your word. Speak to us now through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, so we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, decaying world. We need your word today more than ever. Thank you again for being our Father. Whether we had an earthly father or not, whether he was great or he wasn't, we thank you, Lord, that you are Father to the fatherless, Lord. You've always been there. You loved us. You created us, Lord. You said we're a special treasure. Thank you, Lord. You said we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, let us believe what your word says about us and not anything else. We bless you for your word. Speak to us now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did I say Mark 9:28? All right, so here we go. Mark 9:28. So I asked a question last week. I'm going to start off with the same question this week. How many of you have not eaten breakfast as of yet? Let me see your hand. We're going to have to get a free lunch program or something going on in here, because just like they do in the schools, amen? Amen. But here's what I want you to know. As you have not eaten breakfast, we know the first meal of the day is breakfast. Two words together, break fast. So you are still fasting up until this point. So from here on out, I want you to purposely take advantage of that. During worship, you should have been praying and fasting on areas of your life, your marriage, your kids, your job, your career, your ministry. Since you hadn't eaten, you can call on the power of praying and fasting. During the prayer, you should have been praying and fasting. And now, even as the word is going forth, you're praying and fasting that the Lord will speak to our hearts and illuminate his word so that we could really hear the word and not just listen to it. And I've challenged the congregation. I know it's been at least 2.5 years. Every morning we should wake up before we have that first meal that we should be praying and fasting on areas of our life. And let me put it this way. How do you know what God can do? How do you know if prayer and fasting doesn't work if you never pray and fast? You'll never know. You never know what you're missing out on. And then again, I say it all the time. If you're not praying for someone, you can't complain about them. All right, wives, if you're not praying for your husband, you cannot complain about him. If you're not praying and fasting for him each morning, you cannot complain about him. Men, if you're not praying and fasting for your wife each morning, then you can't keep your mouth shut. Youth, if you're not praying and fasting for your parents each morning, then shut up. Amen? And how will you ever know what God can do unless you do it? And remember, it's not the position of your lips, it's the condition of your heart. You know, some people say, well, I'm on a 21-day fast. It doesn't matter if your heart's not in it. It's just a show. And it sounds good, but think about it. If we seek God every morning, 365 days, we wake up before we have that first meal, we give that time to God. Imagine how your life will change if you accept the challenge to fast and pray each morning. So imagine how your life will change. And you'll never know until you put God to the test. And remember, this is not a religious activity. It's a relationship and faith walking opportunity. Let me say it again, because people do stuff for religious reasons. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying this is an opportunity for you, for your walk of faith to increase with God. It's an opportunity for you to see God work in your life. Takes, I would say, do a minute, 30 seconds. I mean, just start somewhere, right? Okay, God, and before I have my first meal, when I first get up, let your knees hit the floor. Or you lay in your bed, however, but you, God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Number one, Lord, thank you for waking me up today because you didn't have to. And Lord, before I eat, while I'm still fasting, I want to add prayer, the power of prayer to it. I come against anything that's not godly in my life. Lord, show me any areas of my life that I'm short or falling short in. Lord, I pray for my wife. I pray for my kids. I pray for their mental health, their physical, their spiritual, their emotional health. Lord, lead good, godly people into their life. Separate them from people that don't mean them any good. Lord, I'm praying and fasting for them right now. I call on the power of praying and fasting because your word says some things only come but by praying and fasting. Lead me today. Show me why you created me. Send someone my way, Lord, that I can share Jesus Christ with today. Let me be a light on my job, at the gym, in my home, wherever I go today, Lord, let me be a light. Let me be light, salt, and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, that's... Who kept time? What was that? 1 minute? 2 minutes? It wasn't even 2 minutes. You can't do that every morning for God, the one who created everything. I'm just saying. Let's bring it home. Let's bring it home. Let's tie it in with Father's Day right now. Mark 9:28. And when he was come into the house, make a note, invite Jesus. They're talking about Jesus. Invite Jesus into your house. You might have to invite him into some of those rooms you don't want him to come into. Amen. Y'all know we got all that. Some people come over, they can go everywhere. But don't go in that room. Okay. Yeah, that's where we hide all the stuff so the house looks nice. Don't open that door. But right now, I say they invited him into his house, and his disciples asked him privately. That's what I'm saying, that first time in the morning, that's the private time between you and God. When is your private time for God? When do you ask Jesus anything privately? Before your day gets started, you're so busy you haven't even talked to him. I'm saying we all have to have that pride. They asked him pride. Get away from the crowd. As a church, that's why we're going on a retreat. We're getting away for a minute. We're going to see God corporately but privately. But you should have your own individual private time with God every day. Man, I love that private time. Look what the word says. They had to get away from the crowd, and then they asked Jesus privately. Why could we not cast him out? The son was possessed with the evil spirit. He was having seizures. He was sick. And not all illnesses are part of being, possessed or are filled with evil spirit. You know, I'm sick. The devil's after me. No, you're just not eating right. You're not taking care of yourself. Don't put that on. No, don't start getting all everything the devil does. No, it's not. You need to exercise. You need to eat right. You need to take care of yourself. So every situation is not the devil attacking you. That's you not doing what you're supposed to do. But in this instance, it was. In this instance, it was. And he said, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind, the word kind, you look it up, this says kindred. It talks about a generation. The Greek word is genos, which means a generation. This kind, this generation, this offspring, this stock, the stuff you're dealing with right now, some stuff you and I are dealing with, it can only be cast out by nothing but praying and fasting. You and I have been dealing with some stuff because we don't have the discipline to get up every morning and pray and fast. I'm not going to call a 21-day fast. I'm calling a 365-day fast. 2 minutes we got in the morning. Call on the power of praying and fasting. The scripture. Meditate on this scripture. Lord, you said this kind only comes forth but by praying and fasting. So while I'm praying and fasting right now, this morning, I'm asking you, Lord, to liberate, to loose the bonds, to cast out. So it comes back to, do we believe what we read? And how long do you want to deal with stuff and complain about it? Or do you want to surrender to God and watch praying and fasting work through the Holy Spirit of God? We should be praying and fasting for our families, our friends, our marriages, our kids. And based upon the message a few weeks ago in Luke 6:27-28, say we're even supposed to pray for our enemies. If you have an ear, let him hear. He said, first you got to understand. God said, you need to be praying for your enemies. I know. That's just what the word says. So regardless of what you're going through, you should be praying and fasting on it. And if you really want to have victory in your life, and it's just certain areas that you got to pray and fast, and then you go from there to another area. Because as long as we're in this flesh, we got something to deal with, but at least you know how to deal with it. At least you know how to war with it. Because we know that our weapons aren't carnal, but are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. We have spiritual weapons that we never use. And we get our butts kicked almost every day. And then in a strange, twisted way, we blame God because we're not disciplined and we're not really tapping into everything that he has for us. All right, so here we go. So we talked about it before. We talked about the prequel. So here's the scripture right here, but there's the prequel. And we know based upon our previous conversations, it's what comes before this. We talked about movies that we like with prequels, right? I think some over this side, they talked about Star Wars and Terminator and all that kind of stuff. You go back and find out what happened before it got to that point. Amen? All right, let's check out the prequel. Let's go up to JL, take us to 9:21. Same chapter, Mark 9:21. Oh, I'm sorry, Brother John. Hey, I apologize. All right. Okay, I don't know what's going on. All right. I don't know who's running what this morning, okay? Did I say Mark 9:21? This is Jesus talking, and he asked his father, not the mother, men. Make a note. Jesus is asking the father. Jesus is coming to the dad. Because the dad is the one who should be in charge. The dad is the one who should be the provider. So Jesus comes right to the source and asks his father, how long is it ago since he's coming to him? He said, of a child. So Jesus is talking to the father and he asked him, and I wondered about this scripture as if Jesus didn't know how long it had been. But I guess he did it for our benefit. He's a youth now and he's a child. If you're a child, you're how old? How old is a child? 10. How old is a child? When you think of a child, what age do you think of? Under 13. All right. Okay. 5, 6, maybe. We're speculating right now. 5, 6 is a child, because a toddler is 2, 3. All right. Fathers even know. It's Father's Day. Y'all don't even know what a child is. Come on, fathers. What is going on here? Ivy, really? All right, so let's say that he's 5 or 6, and now he's a youth. Should I even dare to ask? How old is a youth? My goodness. Okay. I got to stop asking questions. Let me just go on, okay? Let's say he's 5 or 6. Let's say now he's 15 or 16. The father went after Jesus. Now Jesus, make a note, the father sought Jesus, and now Jesus is talking to the dad. All right? Men, make sure you go seeking Jesus on behalf of your kids. So let's say he's 5 or 6, and now let's say he's 15, 16. So that could be 10 years. So I believe for the sake of this illustration, Jesus wanted us to know that, you know, sometimes things just don't happen that quickly. He's been dealing with this, let's say 7, 8, 9, maybe even 10 years. All right, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. So make a note that three things Jesus is not. Jesus is not a quick fix. Amen? Amen. He's not a genie in a bottle where you rub it and he jumps out and says, what do you need? God is definitely not a get-rich-quick scheme. You don't come to Christ and say, okay, Lord, help me make some money. God, help me. I need a quick fix. It could take a while. Sometimes God moves quick, but sometimes it could take a while. So I say it's been like this for 10 years. Look at verse 22. He says, and he oftentimes had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. God, help us. Youth, do you know that the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy? The enemy is out to destroy. God, help us, because the enemy is out to destroy us, to destroy our kids, to destroy our marriages, to destroy our testimony, our character and integrity as men. He's not playing around, and we can't be playing around. We have to be serious. Anything that's in your life that's not moving you closer to God, that's trying to destroy you, that's how you can understand what's the influence and what's the spirit behind it. I remember growing up and hanging out with the gangs and all this kind of stuff and not even being able to discern that. When I look back, they were killing, stealing, killing, and destroying. Who do you think is influencing the gang members? The other stuff that we got involved in was about killing, stealing, and destroying. Who do you think was influencing that? And that's why, youth, when we talk to you as parents, we know that the women have intuition. Y'all just know stuff because God's wired you like that. Amen. Amen. But then fathers, we have insight. We've gone through stuff and we know it's, hey, son, don't do that. We're not just talking about stuff. We have insight. No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go, oh, dad, it's going to be, no, it's not going to be. The enemy's out to destroy you. Youth and children, listen to your parents. I mean, they know. We've been there. We've done that. Some of us, we got the scars to prove it. Somebody say amen. I thank God how he's built us. And that's why the husband and wife, with that intuition and that insight, it's how we raise our kids. Whether they're your stepkids or whether or not, you still have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to be there and to raise them. And that's what God's called us to do. And we see right here, an enemy's not playing. And he said, oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I love that. That's the Father talking. Talking to Jesus. I love it because he's a real dad. Dad is saying, you know, if you can have compassion on us. And compassion, that word, you break it down in the Greek, it means the seat of love, the seat of pity, the sympathy from deep down inside of you, from your bowels. He's saying, Jesus, if you could go way down inside of you, have pity on us. I mean, dad is saying, look, I've exhausted my resources. I don't know what to do. But if you can look deep down inside yourself, if for no other reason, have pity. Look and see, look, this is a pitiful child. It's a pitiful situation. Have compassion on us. And then the second part of that is, help us. Hey, man, I don't know about you, but I've been, as a dad, Brother Marquis, I've been there a few times. I've been there quite a few times. Not because of my kids, but just because, not because of y'all, but because I've been there. Amen? Amen. That's a real prayer, because it's a real life and it's a real God that we serve. God, I don't really know what's going on. I don't know what I'm doing. But God, look down, have compassion, and help us. Amen. Fathers, add that to your Father's Day prayer list. When you just don't know what to do. In verse 23, Jesus answered him and said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Jesus said, if you can trust, that word believe in the Greek is trust. If you can trust me, let me see. If you can trust, all things are possible to him that trust. Jesus saying, if you can trust me. But it was something else. It was kind of cool that something else that just happened in there. In the midst of the real prayer from a real father with a real situation, praying to a real God. It's this game we used to play growing up called hot potato, right? You throw the potato and it gets all hot and you throw it back and see who can hold it the longest. I don't know if y'all missed the game of hot potato right here. Sometimes you'll glance over it. See, because look at verse 22. Second part of verse 22, he's going to try and put it on Jesus like, if you can do anything, notice if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Jesus said, that ain't my hot potato. I ain't got the problem. Verse 23, Jesus said, if you can believe, you take the if. The if is on you. Don't try and throw that if on me. I'm going to do my job. If you can believe, if you can trust that all things are possible, then it'll happen. Don't come here talking about if I can do it. I can do it. Jesus threw the hot potato right back on. It's on you and I. Ladies and gentlemen, the if is on us. Fathers, the if is on us. Our life comes down to two letters. I-F. If. If you can trust God. If you can believe all things are possible. If is on us. Do we believe that all things are possible to those that trust God? So the question is, do you trust God with 100% of your life? And here's another scenario. You'll never know what God can do with your life until you give him 100%. Think of all the stuff we miss out on because we didn't give God 100%. Dad is saying, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I give. Uncle, I'm tapping out. And then Jesus said, so now can you trust me with everything? Comes down to two letters. Don't pass that hot potato on me is what Jesus said. You take it. But then look at the Father. When he realized, verse 24, he realized that he had fallen short. Said he, and straightway, immediately the father cried. The father of the child cried out. That's that hard look that we have when we look in the mirror. When we ask God to show us, and then God shows us, and we go, oh man, that's what's been missing. Cries out because he knew that the if was on him. He knew that he hadn't been trusting, he hadn't been believing, he hadn't been walking. He cried, oh my gosh. Not only did he cry out, but look what it said. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, he had tears in his eyes. I love this father. He's a happy Father's Day. This is a real father. Man, when we examine ourselves and see where we've fallen short, how we let our wives down, how we let our kids down, how we let our church down, how we let God down, man, we should cry out and tears should come out of our eyes. I thank God that he has his hand on us. Amen. Amen. It's not a condemning message. It's like, Lord, let me tighten my game up message. And the kids, you have no idea how many nights that us dads, we go to bed with tears in our eyes crying for y'all. Y'all think it's the mom crying. She cry all out in front. Ah, all in the house, making a scene, snot. Ah. We don't do that. We go to bed and we cry. We cry out. Amen. Yeah. We in the shower crying, so you can't tell. The water flowing, we crying. We get out the shower, praise the Lord. I'm good. No, it's just water from the shower. That's all that is. Y'all have no idea how many nights we cry. It's tough. Fathers know it's just tough. And for our young men who aren't fathers, you all get this principle. Who is it? John and Ivy and Roe. Any other young men? Marquise, yes. And so I didn't want to leave you out, Marquise, all right? But you all get this principle that there's going to be some nights you're going to cry out. There's going to be some nights that you got to go to God on behalf of your kids. And when you get married and have your kids, notice the order. That should be your desire. We know things happen, amen? But we want you all to be husbands and not baby daddies. We know things happen, all right? But our desire, the ideal, and we know stuff happens. Like I said, it's not a condemning message. It's tighten your game up message. And things happen. But your desire is to be that dad, to be that father. But just know, you're going to be crying some nights. And you got to go to God and you got to depend on him with 100%. And if you're not ready to sign up for that, then don't get married and don't start having kids yet. Because it looks glamorous and we love to walk with our kids and they're graduating and they're doing this. But y'all don't see behind the scenes, boy. Y'all see the snapshot on Facebook. That's all y'all see. Y'all don't see behind the graduation. You don't see what took them to get them there. See the nights we crying. Thanking God I didn't kill him. Y'all, that's what y'all don't see. But that's okay. I mean, this is what we signed up for. It is the toughest thing you will ever do. The real man stuff, fathers. To be married and to raise your kids right. And for me, that's the mark of a true man. All this other stuff, because we know we got Super Bowl champ Solomon in here. We got Roy and Roe all in the industry, music, movie. We know we got people who got everything and got nothing. Don't be fooled by all that stuff out there. Staying married to your wife, raising your kids is a godly man doing it the right way. Don't get fooled by all that other stuff. That's the world. And look what's happening in the world. The enemy is sending spirits to destroy you and to destroy them. And they don't even know it. But being that real dad. And embracing it and going to God, crying out to God. I mean, I love this, fathers. I was actually studying something else, and then I came to this, and God said, no, this is the Father's Day message today. So, okay, Lord, you want to talk about real dads? You want to talk about realness? Verse 24. And straightway the father the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I'm trusting you. But help me the times that I don't trust you. Somebody talk about a real prayer. I wrote down. I know I got to read this on that, don't I? Lord, I trust you, but help me the times I don't trust you. Lord, I trust you, but I'm struggling to trust you this time. I'm struggling to trust you in this sticky situation. Lord, I'm committed to you, but help me when my commitment wavers. God, help me trust, because right now, you know I'm struggling to trust you with everything. Real prayer, real father to a real God. God, you know I love you, but you know I'm struggling right now. God, you know I believe, but I don't know how we're going to get out of this. I don't know what we're going to do about this. Let me read that again, because I love that. Somebody put that, highlight that for the next week during your fasting and prayer time. And straightway the father, the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, make a note, they were running together. We talk about the same agenda. The people came together. They had the same agenda. When Jesus saw the people on the same page, singleness of heart, on one accord, then he rebuked the foul spirit. So I wrote another read this. The people came running to God. Allow your situation to have you run to God. Same agenda. Husband and wife, same page, running to God. Family, running to God. Church, running to God. Same agenda. The people were together. The people had the same agenda. The foul spirit had to go. Look at this. When the people of God are on the same page, same accord, singleness of heart, as we read in the book of Acts, same agenda, the foul spirits have to leave. Foul spirits thrive in mess and confusion and discord. They stick out like a sore thumb when the people of God are together. They can't handle it. They'd have to leave. When they see the people are together, they can't come in and cause any mess. And people are on one accord, foul spirits say, no, this ain't right for me. We know it's not right for you. Look what Jesus told him in verse 25. Deaf and dumb spirit, I charge you, I command you. That word in the Greek, charge, is command. Jesus didn't request or suggest, get out and stay out. Told him, get out and stay out. It's some foul spirits in your life. Some foul spirits on your job. Some foul spirits trying to connect with you. You need to tell them, get out and stay out. You need to kick those foul spirits to the curb permanently. Amen. That's why as you're praying in the morning, pray for insight, pray for discernment. God will show you. And then the if is on you. That's why he tells you, don't be unequally yoked. Be careful who you attach yourself to, because now I'm all emotionally involved and they're really nice and I don't know and this and that. Kick them to the curb if it's a foul spirit. Sometimes I don't even want to know. I don't want to ask. That's why I don't want to go to God, because I say, that's not right for you. But I want it to be right for me. I want to do my thing. I don't want to do your thing, God. The if is on me, so I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to hear what you're saying. Did I say Happy Father's Day? Oh, Happy Father's Day. Jerry, Happy Father's Day. Thank you, Brother Jerry. All right, let's finish this up. And the spirit cried out and tore him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. When you give your life to Christ, sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. When you get rid of those foul spirits, then you might be lonely. Man, I had more friends when I was in the world. Yeah, that's true, but they were foul. I had more money before I started tithing. Yeah, but you was disobedient. I had more friends and fun before I became a Christian. Yeah. But they were trying to destroy you. Man, I never had a job. I never had a problem finding a job when I was in the world. Yeah. She was working for nothing. Looked like it was dead. Some things we got to die to. But then when you flip the coin, okay, some things we have to die to in order to live the life that God has for us. All right? Some spirits we need to cast out and keep out. Literally, we need to die to them if we're going to live the life that God has for us. But when you flip that coin, bam, people are looking at him. They think he's dead. People are looking at you. They think your dreams are dead. Your dreams may look dead. Your career may look dead. Your marriage may look dead. But look what Jesus does. Verse 27. What was the song? He has his hand upon us. Jesus took him by the hand. Not only does he have his hand on us, but he takes us up by the hand. Make a note. Jesus has his hand on you, and Jesus is holding your hand. I don't care what the world is saying, what others are saying about your dream and your career and your marriage and your family. I don't care if it looks like it's dead. It's not, because Jesus has his hand on you and he's picking you up by the hand. Even though it looked like he was dead, Jesus was still there. Even though it looks like it's no hope, Jesus is still there. Even though it looks like it's gotten worse, Jesus is holding your hand. And then we get to where we started. Well, verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand. Somebody say amen. And lifted him up. Allow Jesus Christ to lift you up. Regardless of how dead my marriage, my kids, my family, my career, my dreams, my hopes, my ministry, my church, regardless of how it looks, Lord, take me by the hand and you lift me up. Amen. And look what it says, and then he arose. He has his hand on you. I feel like playing that song and crying right now. Then here we go. This is where we start. And when he come into the house, his disciples asked him privately. They saw all this go down. And this is where we start. It's why I'm telling you, family, the power of praying and fasting. His disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast that thing out? And he said unto them, this kind, this kindred, this stuff you're dealing with can only come forth by nothing but praying and fasting. I wrote a prayer, then we're going to go on and close out. Father's Day prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for lifting up the fathers this morning and the sons this morning and the daughters this morning. Thank you for holding our hand through the dead situations in our life. Continue to elevate us in you to the place you have designated for us to be. God, as fathers, we trust you. But help us in the times our trust and commitment wavers. We believe, we trust, Lord, but help our unbelief. Help us to fast and pray daily, not as a religious activity, but as a relationship and faith walk opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we'll go ahead and close out, and I want to just do a corporate prayer. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never trusted Jesus 100%. Pastor, matter of fact, I've never even invited Jesus Christ into my heart. I got to give the invitation this morning. Somebody might be here. You say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ into my heart. But this morning I want to. I want to get saved. What we call rescued from death, hell, sin, and the grave. If that's you, elevate your hand if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I think God has about 85%. But I know he needs 100%. Maybe you want to rededicate this morning to your Father, to your Heavenly Father. If that's you, elevate your hand. Pastor, I want to rededicate my life. I want to give God 100%. I've been holding back on God. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home, and you say, Pastor, I've been busying, and I know I need a covering. I need a place to be from the worship to the word. I thank God for the sweet spirit that's in this place and the challenge to grow and to be all that God's called me to be. Maybe you're looking for a church home. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. Lord, how we thank you, how we bless you. I'm going to ask my brother Solomon to come up. As God continues to send us just good men to fellowship and to join the church. That was your idea. See your hand for amen. Well, let's stay right here, Solomon. Let me have the men come up because this is just how we do it. Right here, Big Solly. Facing me, Solly, if you would. Thank God for the men. Good men attract good men. Good godly men attract good godly men. We produce after our kind. Everything produces after its kind. Our prayer was this is a house filled with strong godly men. Not perfect men, but men committed to God and committed to each other. We thank God for sending you Solomon, and we promise to have your back and not stab you in the back. We promise to pray for you and not play with you. We promise to walk with you and not talk about you, my brother. We thank you for all that God's doing in your life. We thank you for God leading you here. And we thank you from the time years back when our paths first crossed that God saw this moment when we didn't even see it. Thank you for the other strong and good godly men that surround you, committed to walking with you. Lord, we love you. On this Father's Day, we honor our Father in heaven, our Holy Father, our righteous Father. We bless you for this Father and for this man and for these men. Lord, we're committed to you not to be perfect men, but to be loyal and committed men to you. Lord, we can't do it without you. We can't do it without each other. Jesus sent the disciples out two by two. He didn't send them out by themselves. He sent them out with another brother. And we know the scriptures say how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God commands a blessing. God's anointing is there. And we thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, as we bless Solomon. And all the gifts and abilities and talents you placed inside of him, Lord. The ministry you've placed inside of him, let us walk together as you fulfill it in him, as he's a member here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. We bless you, Lord, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
One last thing before we get out of here. Will the Jimenez family please come up? And brothers, I want you to stay right here. Dominique, Merlin, Brother Clarence, yes. Man, stay right here. Let's place our hands on this family. We have the Jimenez family. Dominique leaves tomorrow for New York, D.C., with a group of students from her school, and we just want to cover her as she goes and cover this family. We take nothing for granted. I don't know who's been on the plane lately, but we take nothing for granted. Who's been in the car lately? We take nothing for granted. Who's rode a bike lately? We take nothing for granted. Somebody say amen.
Amen. That's right. Walking down the street.
Walking down the street, we take nothing for granted.
Amen.
So, Lord, number one, we thank you for you being a great God. We thank you for traveling graces. We thank you for the Jimenez family, for Clarence, Merlin, Dominique, Lord. And thank you for opening a door for her to travel to New York and D.C. and just see the world. Let her be light, salt, and love on that trip. Let her set a standard for all the students, that there's something different about her, that she loves the Lord and she loves all the beauty that God created, and she keeps it in perspective. But we pray for the pilots, we pray for the bus drivers, we pray for any and every means and mode of transportation that she will encounter. Have your hand upon that group. Have your hand upon her as she departs and as she comes back, Lord. Pray for mom and dad that they won't worry too much, but they would cast that care upon you, because we know that you care for us. I'm praying that mom and dad would pray and fast daily, each morning, for the safety and protection of not only Dominique, but for all their kids.
Yes.
And for other kids as well.
Yes.
So we thank you, Lord. Cover her now. Cover the family. Keep them. What a blessing it is to open the doors of opportunity, Lord. We know that every good and perfect gift comes from you.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. We love you. And we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Love you, man.
Thank you, brother.